We begin the current daf Maseches Eivin, daf Lamed Hey. We begin the current daf 10 lines on from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with another approach in explaining the Mishnah on the previous daf. That is, we had a Mishnah on the previous daf, on the bottom of Amud Beis, that spoke about if someone has his Eiruv in a Migdal, in a closet, that is, his person is supposed to have 2 meals worth of food for Shabbos, and that's where his halachic residence will be on Shabbos, although he really lives over here. 2,000 Amos away is where he wants it to be, so that he can walk 2,000 Amos from there, that his circumference, his radius will be in a different area to get another 2,000 Amos in that direction, whichever direction that's supposed to be. So it's in this closet, but he loses the key. Question is that considered accessible or not? Is it considered hu beirubay b'makam echad or b'makam achar? Is it considered that he's in the same area? Then it would be considered a good eruv because he's right next to the eruv. Or maybe it's not because he can't actually get to it because it's locked. That is the machlokes in the Mishnah. On the previous daf, we had one approach that said that the man d'ama that would say that it is good, considered good eruv, because l'chayra it's like the other man d'ama that says it's not good. If you can't access it, it's like it's not in the same place, so therefore, why is it a good eruv? So he said it's talking about that it's a closet made out of bricks and that there's no cement keeping the bricks together. That's like Rimei, who says you could actually take apart the bricks, and that's why it's not considered that it's not accessible. It is, because you could take it apart that way. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama, and that's why he held it is considered b'makom echad. And on that, Rabbi Elazar argues and says that no, it's considered that it's not accessible, and therefore it's not going to be a good eruv. Our current daf continues with a second approach in explaining this machlek is not Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Tavayu, they both say that he understand this opinion that why would it be considered that it is a good eruv or that it's not, again, in this closet that is locked and there is no key, the key is lost, is Hocha b'migdol shel etzaskin. We're talking about a closet not like the previous teretz that says it's made out of bricks, again, but there was no cement. Rather, it's made out of wood. So what does the machlekes depend on? The Mar Savar, because the Tanakhama that held that it is a good eruv, he held that klihu. He considers a closet as a vessel. The ain binyan bekelim and steer bekelim. There is no problem about building and destroying regarding vessels on Shabbos. And therefore, if you want, you could just demolish it, break it apart. You're not going to be doing the malach of Shabbos of steer, which was the whole premise of the question, that how could it be considered you're in the same area as your heir if you can't get to it? And we thought you can break it because it's considered an oil. And that the Tanakhama is of the opinion that it's considered a kli, not an oil, and there's no problem about steer on it. Umar Sava, however, Belaz, who argues, he held oil, he says, no, that this closet is considered its own domain. It's like a tent. It's like a type of a structure. And therefore, you're not allowed to demolish a structure. And therefore, you're not considered in the same area because it's not accessible. And the Gemara says, Obeplukta ta'an Tanoi, and the Machlekes, the non-Mishnah, parallels the Machlekes of Tanoim in the Mishnah in Zavin. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah in Zavin. Hikish, if a Zav goes and he bangs with his fist, Al gabe sheda on a carriage, teva on a box, or migdal or on a closet. Again, the case that we're talking about of a closet. Temein, then that sheda teva migdal is going to be tame because of the movement that it moved because of the zav. That is, a zav conveys what's called tumas hesed. If he makes something move, he transmits his tumah to that item. And Rashi explains it's as if it's talking about that either that he's wearing gloves, so therefore the actual touch is not going to convey the tumah, or it's talking about that he moved it with a piece of wood, he banged it with a piece of wood. Either way, that it will not become tumah through just negiyah of touching, rather it's through the tumah of hesed of his making it to move. However, they say that with the zav banging on this migdal on the closet, that it's going to be tahar. On that, the Gemara says, "My love, Balkamifgli, isn't this that they're arguing about the same thing, that the shade, the teva migdal, again, one of the cases being the migdal that we're discussing in our Mishnah, that they have the same machlokes that we said that they're arguing in our Mishnah. That Mar Sava, the Tanakhama, held in that Mishnah in Zavin, that klihu, that it's a kli, just like the Tanakhama in our Mishnah held. And therefore, it's a makabel tumah. And that's why the Tanakhama in our Mishnah held that there's no problem about soyser, about destroying it, again, because it's just a kli. Umar Sava, however, Nachman and Ibn Nechemir and Mishimon held that oilu, that it is a tent. And therefore, it's not makabel tumah. Only kli is makabel tumah, not a oihel. And therefore, they consider a migdal as a oil. So therefore, you see again the same parallel that the machlaik is in our Mishnah regarding a migdal. If it's an oil or it's a kli, is the same machlaik as we have in the Mishnah Zavin, if it's going to be mekabel tumah or not. If it's an oil, it will not be mekabel tumah. If it's a kli, it will be. And then the Gemara asks, am I buy it? Vitizbra, does it make sense to you to really say that this machlaik is according from the Mishnah Zavin? You're trying to draw a parallel and say, hey, you see that they have this machlaik is already in the Mishnah Zavin, that it's if it's considered a migdal as an oil or not an oil. How can you say that? But Tanber learned the Braisa, oihel v'nisit, if there's a tent and it's moved. That is, it's not it's so tight in the ground. And that is, when the Zav bangs on this oihel, it moves, tame. The oil becomes tame, which contradicts what we just said before, that you wanted to say that their machloikis is dependent on if it's oil or not, therefore when you're going to be moving it, if it's going to convey the tum or not. We see clearly from this brisa that even if it's oil, if it's moved through the movement of the zav, it will get a halacha of tum. And then the brisa there concludes that kli, however, if it's a kli that is attached to the ground and it moves, or if it's very heavy, ve'ein anisit, and that kli does not move because of the movement of the zav, then tar is going to be tar. So therefore, again, we see that it doesn't make a difference if it's an oil or a kli. Either one, if it's going to move because of the movement of the zav, it will become tameh. And if it's not going to, even if it's a kli, it won't become tameh. Similarly, the Gemara says, "V'katani seifa," and we're in the seifa of the first halacha that we brought down from the Mishnah in Zavin, that it says that regarding if he bangs on the sheda and the table of the migdal, it says over there, "V'mhoyu nisutin tameim," that if it moved, it's going to become tameh, and that's going even according to Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon. So obviously the reason is not because of oihel, rather because of something else. Because we see that you wanted to say the idea is that if it's oil, then it's not going to become tameh because of even if he's being maced on it, it's oil, it's not makabel tumah. We see clearly not like that. Because we see that everybody agrees, even if it's oil, if it's moved through the zab, it's going to be makabel tumah. So what is the fundamental principle? On that, the sefer over there says, ha'klav, this is the general rule. Nisit machmes koichoy, if it moves because of the energy of the zab, and that is he moved the kli, or the actual oil, that he moved it from where it was located, then it becomes tummy. Everyone agrees it will become tummy again, even if it's oil. Not like the teretz that Rabbah and Rabbi Yisrael were trying to say was the parallel in the Mishnah in Zavin. Machmesu Oda, however, if it's because of the shake, of the vibrations, that is, let's say he banged his foot on the ground, and because of that, the ground shook, and because of that, the kli moved, then even if it moved from the earth, tar, it's going to be tar, because that's what's called koyach koichai. Not his koyach, it's not the zav's actual energy that's moving the kli. Rather, it's the energy of his energy that he's making something shake, which makes the other item shake. And therefore, they're not really arguing if a migdol is oil or not. So therefore, how can you draw that from the Mishnah in Zavin to say that it's the same achlik as in our Mishnah, that in our Mishnah you're trying to say it's because of its oil or a kli, and that would make the difference if you could break it or not, if it's going to be the malach of stira. And therefore, you're trying to say that we find the same thing in the Mishnah in Zavin, that, oh, if it's a, we have this machlik as regarding the migdol, that the zav is making it move, if it's going to become tummy or not, you're trying to say it depends on the same principle, if it's an oil or not. That can't be, because we find that everybody agrees, even if it's an oil, if it's going to be moving because of the hesed, the actual koyach of the zav, it will become tummy. So therefore, that can't be the explanation of the machlokes in the Mishnah Zavin. So rather, Abayis says, a different explanation of the machlokes between Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon and the Tanakhama of that Mishnah in Zavin. That he says, the kuliyama, that the truth is that everybody agrees, even Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon, that hesed machmes koichai, if the movement is because, literally because of his energy, as we said over there, that was the zeha klal that everyone agrees to, that tameh, it will become tameh even if it's an oil. Not like the way that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef tried explaining the Mishnah in Zavin. Machmes ru'adu tar, if it's because of the vibrations, because of the shaking that he caused, then it's going to be tar, even if it's a kli. So therefore the Gemara addresses, so what was the machlokes between Reb Nechemya and Reb Shimon and the Tanakhama? If everybody agrees koichai is a problem, even by oil, and that is if you actually shake it. And koich koichai, which is the case in Ru'adah of the vibrations, when you're not actually moving the item, you're shaking one thing, let's say you bang on the floor, which that vibration is causing then the kli to move. That's koich koichai, that there everyone agrees even by kli it will not become tameh. So then what is the machlokes that they're having in the case of the Mishnah in Zavin? And that the Gemara says that v'hocha b'ru'adah machmas koichai eskinen. Here, what they're arguing about is a case of the vibrations, but that's literally becoming through his koich, and that's it. He's actually banging on it. So therefore, you would think that it would be considered koich. However, that does not make it move or to shake. Rather, the vibrations is what ultimately makes the item move. And this is what they're arguing about in the Mishnah Zavin. The Mar Savar, the Tanakam over there held, have a hesed, that it's considered hesed. Because even though when you're banging, the banging is not moving it, but the vibrations of the bang ultimately is what caused the item to move, it's still considered hesed because you banged the item. Mar Savar, the Chemer, and the Rishim held, loy have a hesed, that's not going to be considered hesed. So it's somewhere in the middle. Again, Kayechai, everyone agrees, will be considered a tumah even for oil. Kayech Kayechai, if it's just a derivative of what he did, that he shook something which shook the item, that's not going to be conveyed to me, even to Kli. The idea is when you actually shook it, but the shaking didn't cause it, it's the vibrations of what you did to the actual item that made it move, that is machlikis, will we consider that koichai as hesed, or koich koichai, and therefore that would not be considered as hesed. So therefore, the Gemara concludes and asks, according to Abaye, that he just refuted what Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef had tried to prove from the Mishnah in Zavin, that there could be a machloikis in Migdal if it's going to be considered oil or not, and that is, he said that it's not machloikis if it's oil or not, because that has no relevance whatsoever if it's Mekabel Tumah, it's just regarding if something is considered koichai or koyach koichai regarding the case that we spoke about. So then, umasnitin, so then our Mishnah of Erev, but my Mekminla, and what is he going to say that it's talking about? And that is, according to everybody, there really is no machloikis if a migdal is considered oil or kli. And that is, it depends. If it's very large, it's considered an oil. And then the question would be, why, according to the Tanakhama, would it be considered an Erev if l'chari there would be a problem of stira on the oil and the large migdal is considered an oil? And if it's going to be a small closet, which doesn't contain 40 saw of liquid, so then that's considered clean. What would be an explanation of Rebbe Eliezer? Because l'chari there is no problem of stira, so why would it not be considered a kosher Erev? So therefore, we're back to the question, because now Rabbi Yosef's approach to say that if it's a migdal, if it's considered oil or not, l'chari is not a good approach. So what is the machlekes? We're talking about a lock. Again, we spoke about in our Mishnah that the Erev was locked in the closet. But the lock is tied with a rope. And that is, we're talking about that it's ultimately, it's like a chain that's what's keeping the lock closed around the closet. And you need a knife to cut open the chain, to cut open the rope. And that is, as Rashi explains, because if you could have done it by hand, then it wouldn't be a problem, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that for sure would be considered good Erev, because chaticha, cutting, is only a problem with something that's connected. But here would be considered mekalkel, would be ruining the thing, and that would be mutter. Mekalkel is not considered malacha, as we learn in the Braisa Masechtas Bey, regarding the seals of vessels, that you could untie it and open it, and therefore you could also cut it. Now Rashi says, although here we're talking about an oil, as we said, that if it's talking about a very large closet, and over there the Gemara says that if it's on the ground, that it's going to be forbidden to cut it because of Gezer Drabanan, because it looks like Seisis, if you're demolishing something, but it's not literally a building, because it's not, it's just opening up a door here, you're just allowing entry into it. So Rashi says, since that's only Yisr Drabanan, we weren't Gezer in the Ben Hashmashas, as we explained that according to the opinion of Rebbe, that by a Shvus Ben Hashmashas, we weren't Gezer, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem. So we're talking about, again, that you need a knife to be able to open the rope, because you can't open the lock, because the lock, you lost the key. So you're just going to break the chain, you're going to open up the rope with a knife. On that, the Gemara says, the Tanakhama that says that it's a kosher Erev, Savalak Rebbe Yosi, he holds like Rebbe Yosi, the Amma that he says, Kol HaKil Nitolim HaShabbos. All vessels are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, including a knife. Any vessel you can move if it's not muktzah. Chutz mi mesar gadol, except a large saw, the yosid shel machresha, and this type of a sharp utensil that's used in the plowing, which those things are things which are never moved, that's considered muktzah. But every other item that's considered usable, that has utility, could be moved, and it has no problem of muktzah. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer that says that it's not an Erev, Sovelo Krib Nechemi, he holds like Krib Nechemi. Dama that he says, Afila Talis, even a regular cloak, Afila Tarbet, even a spoon, Eini Tolan El Letzach Teshmishi. Now that I move these permitted items only for their permitted usage, which they're usually used for. And that is, the Iker Tashmish, the main utility of a knife, is not to cut ropes. Rather, it's to cut bread or meat or other food items. And therefore, this is the machloikis in our Mishnah. Tanakama did not hold the Rav Nechemia. Therefore, it's a good Erev, because you can go ahead and take the knife to cut the rope. Because what's wrong? A knife is a permitted item to be used on Shabbos. You cut your challah, you cut your meat. Therefore, you could take the knife and cut open the rope. However, Beleza says that if it was lost in a city, fine, that's an Erev. Because if you find it, as we explained in the previous stuff, then you can bring it through the Gagos, Chatzeris, and Kafifas. However, if it's lost in the fields, then as we explained on the Brisa that was on the top of this Amid, which was discussed in the previous stuff, that then you can't go ahead and cut open with a knife, because as Reb Nechemi's opinion is, that the knife is going to be considered muktzah you can't use it for when it's not for its intended purpose. And since a knife is not intended for cutting ropes, that's not something that you can move it for, and therefore that's why, according to Eliezer, this would not be considered hu beirubi b'makam echad, because you can't even take a knife to go ahead and cut open the rope. Whereas according to Tanakhama, you could, and therefore that is the machlokes not mishnah. Again, regarding this technicality, if you could actually go ahead and take a knife to cut open the rope. And therefore we really end up with two approaches to our mishnah. Again, either was talking about regarding if you could take apart brick by brick that has no cement connecting it. Then the Gemara wanted to have another approach regarding if we consider a migdal, a closet, as a oil or a kli. But then the Gemara fell off that pshat and said that it's regarding this lock was tied together with a rope, and then if you can go ahead and cut open the rope, which is not going to be considered any malacha, it's mekalkel, the question was, can you actually even get a knife to go ahead and cut it? Those who say that you can use a regular permitted item for whatever purpose it is, then you can go ahead and cut the knife. Those hold like Rav Nechemia, that's the opinion of Rav Elazar in our Mishnah. You can't take the knife to cut it because it could only be used for what it's usually used for bread and for meat. And therefore, there is no way to cut it. And that's why it's not considered an accessible Erev. And that's why it's not a good Erev, because Huve Ruve, but Makam Acha, they're in different places. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, talking about the eerie of the Erev, as we had mentioned, there's two specific items that we were speaking about in this parak regarding the hechsher of the actual food item, what's considered a good Erev, and then where the Erev is, that has to be in the same area as where the person is making his halachic shvisa on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Nisgalgul chutz l'tchum. If the Erev rolls out of the tchum, then it's not a good Erev. And that is, since from his house, where he is right now, until the Erev is more than 2,000 amas, then Mimalam Shech, either way, wherever you're going to say his acquisition of the Shvisa was, whether in his house or in the Erev, he can't go ahead and take it because it's too far from where he actually is, because now the Erev rolled out. So wherever he is, it's going to be too far. So that is not going to be good Erev. Similarly, Naval of Gal, if a pile of rubble falls on it, the Gemara is going to explain that it's totally the case that you need a pick and a hoe to be able to get to it, because that would be considered a malacha, not a shvus, because it would just be a problem of muktzah of shvus. And then Lechayr, according to the opinion of Rebbe, which many of our Mishnayos are going like, he holds that when that goes to shvus, ben ashmashas, which is the time period of when the Erev has to be chal. So, oy nisraf, or if it gets burnt, or truma venitmas, if the Erev was truma, and they became tamei, which is not fit, not for him, not for anybody, because no one could eat truma tameya. So then the halacha is as follows. Regarding all these different things, again, if it rolled out of the tchum, or if a pile of rubble fell in it, or got burned, either way, that these things are not usable anymore. We can't use it as an Erev. So then if it happened from before Shabbos, it's not an Erev. If it happened already after it was already Shabbos, after it got dark, then it's an Erev, because the Erev was already kaina, it acquired it for him during the time period of Bein HaShemashes, of twilight. And Shabbos, once it's mutter, we say this concept throughout the parak, it's already considered mutter. So therefore, it depends when it's going to be. If it's before Shabbos, it's a problem. It wasn't good during the time of Minish Moshes. If it's afterwards, it's good. Now the Mishnah moves on to Machloikis. Im Suffolk. Let's say it's doubtful. We're not sure when did this happen. When did the Truma become Tummy? When did it get burned? When did it fall out of the Tchum? Was it when it was still day? Or was it after it got dark? On that we have a Machloikis. Rabbi Yehuda, Oimim, Hareza, Chamer, Gamel. So that person is considered like he's both a camel driver and a donkey driver. And that is, we're not sure if the heir acquired it for him or not, and that is where his house is, and that is from here he has 2,000 amas in every direction, and therefore he loses the 2,000 amas from his house in the other direction, or maybe his heir did not acquire it for him. And therefore, from his house, he has that radius in either way, 2,000 amas, and it wasn't acquired another 2,000 amas in the direction of where he put his heir. And because of this suffix, he's forbidden to go, only he's limited to the 2,000 amas between his house and the Erev, because Memalav Shach, those 2,000 amas are permitted, because it's included in whichever radius he is, if it's over here, or if it's over here in his house, or he put the Erev. But the 2,000 amas from his Erev in the other direction, that not, because maybe his Erev was not acquired for him. And also from his house in the other direction, also not, because maybe his Erev did acquire it for him. Maybe it only became Tameh after a Chashecha. And therefore it comes out that this person is being pulled in one way and he's being pulled in the other way. That's like a person that's leading a donkey and a camel, because the donkey goes in front of him. And that's how he leads the donkey. He's behind it, holding onto it. The camel, he has to pull the camel. And therefore he's both in front and behind, because one he has to pull in one direction, he's behind himself. And the other one he has to go in front of him. And he's stuck between the two of them. Same thing over here. And that is, as we explained, a person, let's say he's over here, and his Erev is over here. It has to be within 2,000 amas, or else if it's like we said, if it goes out of the tchum, it's already too far. He can't be considered in the same area. That is, we make a circle or a square around the area of where his shvisa is, 2,000 amas in every direction. So he's within 2,000 amas. So he's saying, okay, this is really where my shvisa is, and therefore I can go from my house to there, and then another 2,000 amas over here. Whereas if he's in his house, he can go 2,000 amas over here, 2,000 amas over here. So either way, the area between his house and the Erev is good. The only question is, we don't know if the Erev was chal or not. So if it was not chal, so his shvisa is in his house. If it was chal, so then it's by the Erev. So if the Erev is chal, he can't go this way. If it was not chal, so it's by his house, so then he can't go from the Erev this way. He can only go between the area of the bayis and the Erev. That's considered a chamer gamel. He's stuck between the donkey and the camel. However, now we consider a doubtful Erev as kosher. We validate that the area where he made the Erev was a good Erev, and therefore he can go the 2,000 amos in that direction. And Amar Rabbi Yosi, Av Tumas Heid, Mishum Chamisha Zekeinim, that Av Tumas said testimony in the name of five elders, Al Safek Erev Shekosher, again, like our opinion that a doubtful Erev is kosher, and therefore we do consider that it was a good Erev, and that is where his Shavis will be, and we don't have this Chamer Gamal situation of being stuck between his house and his Erev. Now the Gemara explains the Mishnah. The first case that we spoke about was Nisgalgul Chutz L'Tchum. If let's say the Erev rolled out of the Tchum, then we said if it happened from before Shabbos, it's not an Erev because he's not in the area of where his... If let's say even you say it was a good Erev, but now he's outside the area. He can't even walk there because he's outside of his Erev already just by default because it's more than 2,000 amas away from where his actual Shavisa was. On that, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, he qualifies this. He says, Lo Yishonel Shel Nisgalgul Chutz L'Arba Amas. It's only if it rolled more than 2,000 amos and another 4 amos out of the tchum. If it rolled out of the tchum, but it's within 4 amos, whoever places an Erev, he has 4 amos of the immediate area of the Erev besides the area of the 2,000 amos of the tchum. And that is, since a person intended to acquire over there his halachic shvisa, his residence for that Shabbos, so he has 4 amos over there. And that is, since he has 4 amos which are within the tchum, so it's as if it's part of the tchum. And Rashi draws a parallel to halacha, that if someone puts his Erev in a house that's at the end of the tchum, so let's say he has 2,000 amos to go, and at the end of the 2,000 amos, a house, the entry of the house is within that tchum. So even if the house is 2,000 amos, he can go out, he can go throughout the entire house. Or let's say, for example, it's at the end of a city, which then that's where the tchum starts. And the house, this is the last house, and the entryway is over here. So then, although it continues another 1,000 amas, the tchum will only start, the 2,000 amas will only start at the end of that house, which is you have the whole entire area of that bias, and then afterwards the 2,000 amas. The same thing over here. That although the Erev went before Shabbos and went more than, went out of the tchum, so therefore now he's 2,003 amas out of it, but since the actual Erev requires 4 amas, so therefore it would still be considered that this, let's say the Erev is 3 amas outside, we view it as if it has an area of 4 amas, so therefore now it is overlapping the area of the tchum. So therefore, this person is in his halachic tchum again if it did not go more than 4 amas out of the tchum. Now the Gemara continues to the next case. We said in the Mishnah, Nafalo lov gal v'chulu. If let's say a pile of rubble fell on it from before Shabbos, it's not going to be considered good Erev because you can't get to it. And that the Gemara says, Kasaka da'itech, the Gemara says that we had assumed an understanding of the Mishnah, the Ibai, that if the person wanted, Matzi Shakalai, he can go ahead and get the Erev under the pile of rubble. Yet the Mishnah is saying that it's not an Erev. Why? Because you can't move the stones. And that would be because of a Shvus Drabanan of Isser of Muktzah, that we don't allow you to move the stones. And therefore the Gemara says, Le Masnitin Le Karebi. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Di Karebi, because if our Mishnah would be following Rebbe, Ha'amar, he says, Kal Davashu Mishum Shvus, Le Gadol Ben Hashmashas. Anything that's Isser Rabbanan, which is Muktzah, it's only its rabbinic convention, that we would not go, that's not a problem of Ben Hashmashas. And therefore, if it's under the rubble during Ben Hashmashas, which is the time period which we need to be able to get to the Erev, which is when the Erev is Chal, you can get to it, because that's only Muktzah. Muktzah is only Isser Rabbanan. So why is that a problem? Obviously the Mishnah is not like Rebbe. And then the Gemara says, no. I feel like Timmy Karebi, you could say our Mishnah is like Rebbe. Loi Tzrich, we're talking about a case, the Bayi Mar V'chatzina. These are bricks, these are very heavy. The only way you'd be able to get to it would be by using a hoe and a pig. And on that, the Rishonim explained, would be a problem either of Bayna or of Chayrish. It would be considered a Malacha Deiraisa. That is why it would be a problem even according to Rebbe. But if you just be, you could move it with your hands, that would not be a problem because a Muktzah is not a problem during the period of Ben Hashmashas when you need it for the Erev to be Chal. And now the Gemara says v'tzricha. We needed all these cases in the Mishnah, which seem to be redundant. We have 4 cases to say this idea that it's something that's not considered accessible. So therefore, if it happened from before Shabbos, it's not an Erev. After Shabbos, it is an Erev. And out of doubt, we had a machloikis. Why do we need 4 cases? And now the Gemara says as follows. The Tannis Galgal, had we said only the first case of when it rolled out of the Tchum, Mishum de Lesek Abe, because it's not by him anymore. Of course it's not considered a good Erev. It's not in his halachi Tchum. Of enough of gal, but when a pile of rubble falls on it, the isagabe that he is in the same area as the Erev, although he can't actually get to it, but it's right there. Emel have Erev, I would say that it would be considered Erev. That's why we needed to say that case also. And the itan enough of gal, had we only said the case of when a pile of rubble falls on it, Mishum de Mixi, I would say, hey, because it's covered, it's not, we don't see it, it's not visible. When it rolls out of the tchum, sometimes the wind will blow and bring it back into the tchum, and therefore it is considered there. We see it and it could come back in. I would say maybe it should be considered air. That's what we needed both cases to say, that in both cases it's not going to be considered air if it became this inaccessibility from before Shabbos. And then the Gemara continues to the next two cases. The Mishnah then said, or if it gets burnt, or truma venitmas, if the air was made out of truma, became tummy. Again, these are another two cases of where it's not considered accessible, it's not considered something that you could use for an air. And that the Gemara says, so lomali, why do I need the next two cases of the four cases? And that the Gemara says, tana nisraf, the reason why we said the case of where it gets burnt, and we continue on to Amud Beis, is l'diachar kreicha d'Rabbi Yosi. That is, as we had a machlokes in our Mishnah, regarding a case of doubt. We said that there's a machlokes in our Mishnah if it's going to be considered good air or not. So we said the case of burnt to tell you the chiddush of the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, that even if it's not here in the world anymore, it's totally burnt, it's still not usher, because he holds a suffic erev is considered good erev, even if we don't see it here anymore, it's totally eradicated from the world. And the fourth case, tana truma v'nitmas, the reason why we said the case of truma that became tamei, that was l'diachar kreichad remeh, that was to tell you the opinion, the strength of the opinion of the other shita in the Mishnah, that of remeh, that even if it is here in the world, look at it, it's regular truma, I can get to it, there's nothing blocking me. And you would say that you should be oimid al cheskasi, that keep it on its previous merit, that in the time period of Bein Hashmashes and before that it was tahar, so therefore you should say that you would apply the chazaka that it had lekula, and that we want to say that Remei holds it no, even though it's here and it was regular truma, we just don't know when it became tamei. Maybe we should view it as it had its original chazaka, and we'd say leniently that it is considered good erev. That we want to say even there where it's here and it's accessible and everything, but since it might be tamei, according to Remei, a suffic erev is not going to be considered a kosher erev, and that's why we said all four cases in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes and elaborates on the opinions in our Mishnah regarding this machlokes of the erev of doubt. The Gemara asks, "V'savre meya sveka l'chuma, does Remei really hold by a case of suffik, and especially in the case of erev, which is a halacha d'rabbanan, that he holds that you're going to go l'chumra?" But the Gemara asks, "But nan, we learned in the Mishnah Mikvayis, tamei sheyored litvul, regarding a person that was impure, that he went down into the mikvah to tevel to purify himself, suffik tevel, suffik lay tevel. We're not sure, did he immerse himself? Did he not immerse himself?" But Philip Tavel, even if he immersed himself, but Savik Tavel by Abraham saw, Savik Lay Tavel by Abraham saw, we're not sure about this mikvah, if it had 40 saw or not, if it's considered a kosher mikvah that to purify himself from his tefillah. Similarly, the Mishnah says, V'chein shnei mikvahs, also regarding these two pits, these two mikvahs, Ba'achas yesh ba'abram saw, or Ba'achas ein ba'abram saw, one mikvah was a kosher one, the other one was not. V'tavel ba'achas man, he tavled in one of them, V'ini de ba'ez man tavel, and he doesn't know which one they tell, that is the mikvah had two buyers, and they went in one of them, and they said, oh, I just wanted to know, it was under construction, one of them did not have the 40 saw. Now we don't know. And that the Mishnah says, Sveikai Tamei, his suffik, that we have a doubt, did he purify himself, did he not? He's going to stay with his halacha of Tamei. On that, Bamed Vamrum, we said, when did we say this, that the suffik is going to be Tamei, that out of doubt we will keep him Tamei? That's Betuma Chamura. That's by a stringent Tumah, and that is by someone that acquired a Tumah that makes him Tamei Min HaTorah. For example, like an Avatumah. Avatumah Kala, but by a lenient Tumah, that is a Tumah Dirabanan. And what is a Tumah Midivri Seifrim, a rabbinic Tumah, to make a person become Tamei? Because we're talking about a person that he's Tamei, and he's trying to purify himself in the mikvah. Now we're not sure, did he purify himself or not? We say that he stays, he retains his Tumah Misafik. That's by a Tumah Chamura of Dairaisa. But if a person became tamei midrabanan, what type of case is that? Could go into ochel oichlin tamei. For example, if he ate food items that were tamei, and similarly v'shasa mashkin tamei, if he drank liquids that were tamei, or v'haba reisha beruba b'mayim shuvim, if a person came into his head and is the majority of his body in drawn water, or if it fell on his head and the majority of his body, three lugin of drawn water, where these cases are all from the 18 things, which it says in Perek Yetzias HaShabbos, that talks about these were gezeiros, that the Chum instituted to make a tumah drabanan on people. So if a person only got this rabbinic tumah, the yared litvul, and then he went down to tevel in the mikvah, and again, you have all these cases of doubt. Suffolk tavel, suffolk lay tavel. We're not sure. Did he tavel? Did not? Wait a second. Was I putting on my clothing? Was I taking off my clothing? I don't know if I immersed at all. Or if I feel a tavel. Even if he knows that he actually immersed, still you could say there would be a case of doubt. For example, suffolk tavel bar bar msah, suffolk lay tavel bar msah. He's not sure. Did he immerse in 40 saw or not? And that is, we have a mikvah in front of us, and we see that it's lacking. We don't know if when he went and tabled himself, was it complete? And then only later it became less, that we see it's below the line. We don't know when he went, was it a 40 so or not? And similarly, v'chein shnei mikvayos, similarly regarding two mikvayos that we know about, that one of them did not, never had 40 so. Ba'achas yesh ba'abar misa. Ba'achas im ba'abar misa. One had 40 so, one didn't. V'tavah ba'achas men, and he immersed in one of them. V'ein yedei beiz mentavah, he doesn't know. They asked him, was it that one? That one says, I don't know, I was running. I don't know which pit I went into. On that, the Mishnah says, Sveik Itar, that the suffix regarding the tumah kala, again, regarding a tumah drabanan, his suffix will be tar. And therefore, a stam Mishnah we know, and this is a Mishnah Mikvayos that does not have a specific author, is Reb Meir. And therefore we see that Reb Meir is makel by a suffik drabanan, which is the case over here regarding the tumah drabanan that he has on himself. We say that it's suffik. Did he purify himself or not? We say he will be tar. And then the question becomes, so why is he machmer in our Mishnah regarding Eirvin, regarding the halacha of Tchumen? Tchumen is also a halacha drabanan. So why does he say that the suffik Eirv will be not a kosher Eirv if we find that by a suffik drabanan, he is makel? To which the Mishnah over there concludes and says, Rabbi Yossi mitami. Rabbi Yossi, he holds, however, that the person is tami, which the Gemara later will ask a contradiction on the opinions of Rabbi Yossi, which in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that a suffix is going to be lekula, and yet here he's the one saying lechumra. But first, the Gemara addresses Reb Meir. Again, Reb Meir in our Mishnah says a suffix by Erev is not going to be kosher Erev. The question is, why? Why is he machmer? It's a suffix by Drabbanan, and we find the Mishnah Mikvayos. Reb Meir says by suffix Drabbanan, he's going to be tar, that we are makel. That the Gemara answers, the premise is wrong. Ksav Reb Meir Tchumen Dairaisen, and the Reb Meir holds that the halacha of Tchumen is not a rabbinic, it's a Dairaisa. And therefore, as we know the famous klal, a suffik Dairaisa is lechumer. Whereas by the case of the Tumah Kala over there in the Mishnah Mikvayos, that was explicitly a Tumah Drabanan, that of course Reb Meir will hold that you're going to be lenient. Whereas over here again in the Mishnah, by Erev he holds that it's going to be a suffik of Erev, it's going to be lechumer, because Tchumen, regarding the halacha of Erev, that is a Dairaisa, not a Drabanan. However, the Gemara asks a different question. Is it really true, the answer we just gave, that Reb Meir holds that Tchumen is Dairaisa? But Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah later on in this Masechta, in Parakeitz and Ma'arban Daf Nazayin Mud Beis, that if a person was measuring, he was measuring the city, again, you have to make these measurements to know where the city begins and ends, to know how far you can go out of the city of 2,000 Amos, and then he wants to finish measuring the tchum, the 2,000 amas at the end of the city, to make over there a sign that like Ad Kan, until here is where you're allowed to walk, the tchum ends over here. And the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to measure, the only tool you can use to measure for the Erev is a rope that's 50 amas long. Now this person that's measuring, he wants to get to the edge to be able to say this is where the 2,000 amas end. If he reaches a valley or to a slanty wall, now if he can go ahead and span it with a rope of 50 amas, then he spans it. And that is even though, if regarding the slopes, it would make it longer. And if he would measure all the slopes going down over here and going up over here, it would be 100 or even 200 amas. Doesn't make a difference to us, since from one edge to the other edge is not more than 50 amas. And let's say, for example, a valley where you're going down. If you would be measuring the actual floor, which is what people would normally do, it's going to be much longer, and you get the tchum is going to be much shorter than if you're going to be able to just span from one edge to the other. You keep the actual the floor that we are on. We don't actually measure the height and the going up and down. That's not measured. It's just the actual distance that's horizontal, not the vertical, going up the mountain or down into the valley. That's if it has the ability that if you're going to span it, it's going to be less than 50 amas, again, because from one edge of where the valley begins to where it ends is going to be less than 50 amas, then that's what you do. Even though, again, if you would measure going down the valley or up the mountain, it would be much more than a distance of 50 amas. However, that is where our Gemara begins regarding that Mishnah. However, im einu yachal lavliya, if you cannot span it, and that is the 50 amas rope will not make it across. Again, you would be making much less, but it's still, let's say it's 70 amas from where the valley begins or the mountain begins to where the mountain ends. And therefore, you don't want to have to go up the mountain or down the mountain to make it. You would have much shorter a tchum, but you can't go from one edge to the other with this rope. Bezu amrib destoy brayan mishum remeya, that shemati, I heard shemekaj baharam, that we pierce the mountains. And that is, we did not allow the person to go ahead and span it in a rope that's more than 50 amas. So if let's say the valley or the mountain, where from where it starts to where it ends, is more than 50 amas, you can't use a rope more than that. As the Mishnah said, you're not allowed to measure with a rope more than 50 amas. And you also don't measure the slopes, the inclines and the declines as they are with a rope of 50 amas, as if you were going on the ground, because that would be a very stringent opinion, because then the tchum would be very short, because if you're including that incline and decline, it's going to be very close. Rather, what you do is, as it says in the Gemara over there, you measure with small ropes of 4 amas long, and two people hold on to it to the two ends of the rope. The one on the bottom, he holds the rope opposite his heart, where usually that's where it's held by the people measuring the tchum. However, the one on the top, he does different than it's usually done. He holds it by his ankle, by the bottom of his foot. And therefore, they gain by every 4 amas the height of half of a person. And Rashi explains that the term mekadrin is like piercing. That is, you make the measurement of the mountain as if it was pierced through, as if you're going straight through in the place of where the leg of the one on the top person, where his legs are. It's as if his heart is there, again, where the people that are holding the air usually are. And it's as if you're putting the rope through the mountain itself, as if you're putting it there as how it's usually measured. That is, when you're on flat ground, you have two people holding it. One person holds it by his heart. The other person holds it by his heart. That's on flat ground. Now, although normally if the person on the top of the mountain would be holding it by his heart, you'd be including the incline. So we don't. We keep it horizontal. That means the person by his heart and the other one keeps it down by his foot. So we're going straight with these ropes of 4 amas. We're not going to be including the incline and the decline because it's going to be straight lines, but it's going to be like short little lines going up, and therefore you're not really going to be counting the incline and the declines. And that is where the question begins. So regarding that halacha, Remeis says that we are going to do by tchumen the halacha of mekadrin, that we make this leniency, so to speak, not to have this strong chumrah of having to measure the incline and the decline, that that's part of the measurement of what we're counting from the city. And the question begins, and if it is as you just answered, to resolve the inconsistency in Remeir regarding what do you do by a suffix that we find by the Rabban, he's lenient, yet in our Mishnah, he's machmer. Oh, you know why he's machmer by tchumen? It's because tchumen is deraisa. But mi mekadrin, then would he allow, as we just had in the halacha we just quoted from a second ago, to do this leniency of piercing? V'omer Rav Nachman, omer Rav Barbua, ein mekadrin. I'll tell you certain cases you're not allowed to do this piercing. Loi ba'ari miklot, not by the city of refuge, which is when someone kills by mistake. He has to go to the ira miklot, which the halacha is that we said that not only does the city save, but even the tchum, the halachic tchum of 2,000 amas, that also saves. So by ir miklut, we do not see mekadrin. Similarly, beloy by egla rufa. Regarding the halacha of egla rufa, which is when we find somebody dead between the cities, we don't know who killed them, so the city that's closest has to bring a decapitated calf where they chop off the head in the valley. So when we're coming to measure the cities that are around this chal, the person that had died, to know which is the closest one that has to bring the egla rufa and to say the parishes that are negated to it, we measure the mountains and the valleys as they are. And even though the incline and the decline are going to make the distance much longer and to distance it from the city, it doesn't make a difference. We actually go and they do the entire measurement. Why is that? The nation shall tell you, because they are biblical laws. Biblical laws, we don't use this leniency of mekadrin. We actually have to go and measure everything that's on the surface of the ground. Whether it's going up or going down, you measure all those things. So therefore the question is, if Remeir holds chumen is dayreis, as that's what we use to resolve the inconsistency, and he also says that you can do mekadrin by chumen. Now those two things don't go together, because we do not do mekadrin by biblical laws. And if tchumen is always a biblical law, you should never be allowed to do the leniency of mekadrin, which we just said, that you don't use the leniency of mekadrin by biblical laws. And that the Gemara says, loy kasha. It's not a difficulty, because this case of Remeir in our Mishnah, which he said, that which as we used to resolve because of the other halacha of the Mishnah in Mikvayis, that we consider deraisa, and therefore the suffix is luchumra, that's the day, that's his own opinion. He holds that you do not say mekadrin, because you're right, tchumen is deraisa, and that's why we go sveka luchumra. This case that we just quoted from me before, that he is matcha by kodrin, is derabbi, is from his teacher, that his teacher holds tchumen is not deraisa, so therefore it's not deraisa, so therefore you could use a leniency of mekadrin, of piercing through the mountain. As the Gemara says, dekanami, it is even meduyik, that is, we find the precision when we look at it now with the answer, that it's precisely so. Diktoni, as we learned, which we quoted before, Bizu Amrib Destoyber Yan Mishumer Beya, Shemati, what did Remeir say? That I heard, that is Remeir saying this, that I heard to say that this is what they say, I heard this from my teachers. But not necessarily that this is what he holds. Shemekaja Maharm, what did my teachers say? My teachers say that you could pierce through the mountain. Shemami, no, that's the resolution. Yes. His teachers say you could pierce because they hold chametz not deraisa. Rav Meir himself, as we find in our Mishnah, he holds that it is deraisa, and that's why he holds the suffix is lechumah by suffix erev, as we quote in our Mishnah. And that's why it's not a conflict with what he says elsewhere regarding a suffix tumah derabanan, that it will be lekula. And therefore, he holds that you would not be able to mekadim b'harm. It's only his teacher that holds you could be mekadim b'harm. So the Gemara resolved that aspect of the halacha of Rav Meir. However, the Gemara asks a different question related to that. But we're going to pose a contradiction regarding a suffix of deraisa on a different suffix deraisa, which is very similar to the deraisa of our Mishnah, according to Pinya Remei, if you actually go lechum. And as we resolved everything, we said that, look, the case of our Mishnah of Erev is a deraisa diga case, and if you're going to go lechum. However, the Gemara is going to ask that it's very similar to a different case, which is also deraisa, but has certain properties like our Mishnah, and we go lekula, according to the opinion of Remei. As the Gemara began, we learned in the Mishnah in Tyrus. Noga be'echad. If somebody touches a person, balayla at nighttime, ve'eni day im chayim meis, and he doesn't know if he's alive or dead. Ulamacha hishkem matzim meis, and the following day he gets up and he finds that he's dead. Remei metar v'acham metamis. Remei holds that he's tar, acham hold that he's tummy. Why does acham hold that he's tummy? Shakalat meis kashas mitzias, and we go according to the halachas of tumma, what we know now. We find that now the person, this was the first time we saw the data on this person. We see that he's dead. So then we rely on the fact that he was dead when the person touched him. And why does Remei hold that he's tar? Because he holds that the person retains his original chazaka. Yesterday the person was alive, so therefore we rely on the chazaka that he was alive when he touched him by the night, and therefore he says he's tar. So therefore you see that by a suffix deraisa, and there's also a chazaka lekula, which is that the case we have a chazaka, that the person was still alive, there Remei goes after the chazaka. And therefore, our Mishnah, you should also go after the chazaka that is originally, when you put it there, the truma was tahira. Now, we're not sure, we have doubt, did it become tamei not? We should say that it retains its original chazaka, that it was tar. And therefore, just like he says regarding the dead person, that you retain your chazaka, in spite of the fact that it's a suffix deraisa of tumah chamura, that you're going to be tar, so therefore, in our Mishnah also, you should say the suffix erev should be kasher, because although that it's a suffix deraisa, but since you have a chazaka that it was considered truma tahira, it should be kasher. And that the Gemara says, Amr Reb Yirmiya, you're right, but Mishnah Seinu Shehoyu Le'er Sheretz Kol Ben Hashmashes. Our Mishnah is talking about that a Sheretz, which is what's Metame, the Truma was there the entire Ben Hashmashes, from the beginning to end, where definitely it was Tame from before Shabbos started. And because the beginning of Ben Hashmashes is from before Shabbos, therefore we have no doubt, and that's why it's going to be L'chumah. To which the Gemara asks right away, Hiyachi, Behol Leim Reb Yitzi Savik Erev Kasher. In such a case, would Reb Yitzi, who argues in Remeya, say that a Savik Erev would be Kasher? What do you mean? This definitely from before Shabbos became Tame. And our Mishnah already said that if anything becomes Tame from before Shabbos, everybody agrees in the Rubi Erev. Well, the case you're postulating is a considered Avandi Tumma, where everyone would agree that it's going to be Tame. So there, the Gemara gives a different answer. Rabbi Rav Yosef and Amitavayu, they both said that Hochi, in our Mishnah of the Halacha of Erev, we talk about B'shtei Kiti Eidim Askim. We talk about that there were two groups of witnesses. The reason why we have a doubt over here is because one group says it became tummy from before Shabbos, not a good Erev. The other group says, no, we saw it only became tummy after it became Shabbos. And the Machlokes is as follows. Rabbi Yosi holds, you say, Uki Trei L'Bahadi Trei. These two negate each other. They both are invalid. And therefore, what are you left with? You're left with the chazaka of Truma that it originally had, and that when you put it down, it was Torah, therefore it's going to be considered a good Erev. Remei holds that since you have one group that is refuting the chazaka because they're saying that it was tameh from before Shabbos, so regarding a suffix deraisa, we do not go basa chazaka, and therefore it's not going to be considered an erev. But regarding the case that we asked from when a person touches someone at nighttime, where there's no group that's refuting the chazaka, there we say that it retains its chazaka that it had the whole entire night. And not like the opinion of the Chacham, we don't say that it's as if it's how it was when the person was found. Because you could say, no, the person died now. But regarding the nighttime, he retained his original chazaka that he was alive. Therefore, there Remeya says, you're right. Although it's a suffix deraisa, if you have a chazaka, of course you're going to go lekula. But however, in our Mishnah, it's not just that you have a chazaka regarding a suffix deraisa. You have two edim that are making this doubt. If you have an aid connected to the chazaka will not work, even though you have another aid working with the chazaka, and that's why your mayor says, "Now mission, it's not going to be a good chazaka." Now we continue on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says a little differently. Rav Amar Rava says you could say even by the case of where the person touched someone at nighttime, that even if there are two groups of edim, they're also arguing. And one says that before he touched the person was already dead. And one says, no, he only died now after the person touched him. Even there, Remei will hold that the person would be tar because of the chazaka. And still, it's not going to be a question. Why is that? I would just explain in our Mishnah that if there's two groups arguing that the chazaka will not work, because hasam tre chazaki lekula, thereby the case of touching the dead person, there are two chazakas that are working for the person to retain his tahara. And therefore, there we will go lekula, even though that there's two Edom arguing, there Remei would agree to Rabbi Yossi that uki tre lebahadi tre, that the two Edom will negate each other, and you're left with two chazakas. What are the two chazakas? One is that the mess, the corpse, has his original chazaka from the whole night that he was still alive. We didn't know that he died until the morning. And another chazaka is that the person who touched the person that we're not sure if he was dead or not, he has his original chazaka that he was tar. We don't know if he became tamei or not. However, hach over here in our Mishnah, by the halacha of Erev, you only have chada chazaka lekula. You only have one chazaka lekula. You only have the one to say that let the truma remain on its chazaka. And because of one chazaka, there we will not invalidate or make a reyesa on the edim because of just one chazaka. Therefore, there we will go lechumra. And again, that's how we resolve the stira of Remeir regarding this suffix deraisa of lechumra. That is, there are these two approaches. Either that in the place of chazaka, only if there are no edim that are saiser, then we're going to say that it's going to go lekula if it has chazaka. But if there are two edim, then it won't work. Or the second approach was that even when there are edim, but if there are two chazakas, even then that there are two edim, then we will say lahakal.